continue today in our Outsiders series. Men and women in Scripture who were seen as those on the outside, but God brought them near. And as I mentioned last week, we have also been praying that these 4 weeks of live preaching would also reignite us to the mission of this campus and renew within each of us a burden to reach the lost, to reach the outsider, the unchurched, and to be a witness for Christ in our community. And before we read our text this morning in Acts chapter 8, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, you do reign. And we thank you for the privilege we have to gather together to worship you as the one who is worthy of all glory and honor and praise. And what a privilege we also have to give back to you as another expression of our worship. So we give you our time, our service, and our gifts. Would you use all of this to reach many with the saving truth of the gospel? Lord, would you bring about revival in our midst? And Father, I pray that you would speak through Pastor Cameron as he's preaching right now at our 410 campus. Bless him and his ministry. Lord, I ask that you would speak through me as well by the power of your Spirit. Speak through your word as we read this extraordinary story of Philip and his witness to this Ethiopian man. This amazing story, Lord, makes me think of a line from a poem from George Herbert that reads, "Bibles laid open, millions of surprises." For it seems the longer we live, Lord, the fewer the surprises in life. But when it comes to you and your word, the more we should be amazed. Amazed at your love and your majesty and your beauty. Amazed by your grace. So, Lord, amaze us today in a new way. We ask this in your name. Amen. Philip was one of the seven deacons chosen in Acts 6 to meet the physical needs of the Greek Jewish widows who were being overlooked. And then in Acts chapter 7, a great persecution breaks out against these early believers. But in God's providence, this persecution proves to be beneficial because the gospel, like the Christians, scatters. And as we saw last week in Acts 1:8, the gospel message that first began in Jerusalem, it then goes out to Judea and then to Samaria. Some of the first outsiders to hear the gospel. And we see this in Acts 8, verse 4. "Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them." And then in verse 14, "Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John." And that takes us to our passage today, Acts 8, starting in verse 25. "So when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem." This is Peter and John. "And were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Get ready and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road.' This is one of my favorite stories in all of Scripture. You know, last week we looked at the why and the power behind our witness to the outsider in Acts 1:8. And today I want us to see the how behind our witness. And 3 points on how we are to reach the outsider with the love of Christ. Number one, we must faithfully go. We must faithfully go. Peter and John head back to preach on their own home court there in Jerusalem. But the Lord has a different plan for Philip, this Greek-speaking Jew. God told him, go to the road to Gaza, to this empty stretch of desert, somewhere the gospel had never been taken before. Can God call you to do something that no one else seems to be doing? Can God call you to go somewhere that you wouldn't necessarily go to if given the choice? Yes, he can. Because as Isaiah 55:8 reminds us, God's ways are not our ways. And so when the Spirit of God opens the door to Philip to preach the gospel, he was ready. And when the Spirit opens the door for us to tell others of the gospel, we must be ready to faithfully go. If it's a desert road or a desolate valley that God is calling us to walk through for a season for the sake of the gospel, then we must be ready and willing to obey his calling upon our lives, to be witnesses for him. And we don't necessarily wake up and say, okay, God, who am I going to reach today for Christ? No, we more likely say, Jesus, as the Lord of my life, you direct my steps. God, you send me. You lead me where you want me to go and whom you want me to speak to and share the love of Christ with today. And God, if you tug on my heart to pray with this person or pray for this person or maybe just listen to them and have a ministry of presence with them or speak one of your promises to them, you are going to have to be the one to fill me and empower me because I can't do any of this on my own power and my own strength because in my flesh I am weak. But you can, God. So you lead me, you fill me with your Holy Spirit power today. But as we saw last week, in order to connect to the power source, which is the Spirit of God, we must be walking in obedience, walking in step with Christ. We must be daily in his word, daily confessing sin, daily leaning upon him through prayer and worship. And that puts us in a state of spiritual readiness to obey whenever and wherever God calls us to. And that's just what Philip does in verse 27. So he got ready and went. Faithfully do what God calls you to do today. And who does God lead Philip to? And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading Isaiah the prophet. We meet this eunuch who worked for the queen of Ethiopia, Candace. Candace wasn't her name, but a title for the queen mother who served as the head of government in Ethiopia, a kingdom south of Egypt, in today's Sudan. And this God-fearing Ethiopian man becomes the first Gentile to be evangelized in the book of Acts. This high official to the queen had just traveled to Jerusalem over 500 miles to worship the one true God. And he's now on his way home, no doubt, with a great caravan. This eunuch who was open to learning more about the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And it appears that he has purchased a scroll of Isaiah, during his time in Jerusalem. He was the treasurer of Ethiopia, but he's about to possess a far greater treasure to take back to his kingdom, the treasure of the gospel and the riches of salvation found in Christ. And if you remember last week when we looked at Acts 1:8, Christ's final words to his disciples before his ascension into heaven, Jesus said, "But you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem," the epicenter of Christianity at the time, "and then throughout Judea," the next ripple of the gospel as persecution came in, "and then Samaria," here in chapter 8, "and then to the Greeks with Cornelius," in Acts chapter 10, before the gospel eventually makes it all the way to Rome, the uttermost part of the earth at that time. And today we see this unlikely meeting between two very different people to remind us that God can do the unlikeliest of things to bring outsiders to himself in faith. Verse 29, "Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go up and join this chariot.'" It wasn't Philip who engineered this meeting, but it was the Spirit of God. And the Spirit doesn't say to Philip, "Here's who you're going to meet, and here's how you're going to start this conversation." No, the Spirit just tells Philip to go. "Join this chariot, and I will give you the words to say." The Greek word here for join is a word, kolao, that speaks of glue and clinging. And so if you want to remember this Greek word, kolao, just think of a koala down in Australia clinging to a eucalyptus tree. As believers, we are not to separate ourselves from unbelievers and those needing to grow in Christ, but we are to go and stick to them in friendship and pray for them. Stick with them through love and prayer as we point them to the saving truth of the gospel. It doesn't matter how different a person may be from us socioeconomically or racially. The gospel is for all and to all people. There was a professor from Africa who taught for many years at Yale by the name of Lamin Sane, and he wrote a book titled, "Whose Religion is Christianity?" And in it, Sane speaks of how all the major religions except for Christianity have their primary population centers roughly near where that religion started. For example, 96% of Muslims are near where Islam started in the Middle East. 88% of Buddhists live in East Asia. 98% of Hindus live in India and South Asia. But when it comes to Christianity, he says it's the only worldwide religion. 25% of Christians are in Central and South America. 22% are in Africa. 15% are in Asia, but that number is exploding. Only 12% of all Christians in the world are right here in North America. And then I love how Sane writes, "Christianity does not belong to any one culture. Christianity stands above culture. It's inclusive of all people." And I love that even in our own church family here at this Stono campus, we have people here from Colombia and Kenya and Jamaica and Bulgaria and Brazil and Asia. And we get to hear from mission partners who visit us from the Czech Republic and Spain and India and China and the Middle East. And we don't say to those joining our community here, "You must become like us or take on this mold in order to fit into our church." No, you still embrace your culture, your upbringing, your language, because it's the Holy Spirit who comes into each unique and beautiful culture and weaves Christianity within the soil of that culture. Christ came for all people. And it's one of those millions of surprises that God chooses to use us, his bride, in his great rescue mission. We don't save people. God does that. But it's the Spirit of God who uses the Word of God through a faithful woman or man of God to bring the message of salvation to the people of God. And the gospel comes into the heart of this Ethiopian man. But it's sad that he had to go through all of the trouble and all that way to Jerusalem, traveling over 500 miles. And then he gets to Jerusalem in order to worship at the temple, only to get there and find that he would have been left on the outside. Jewish law would have excluded him from the temple as an outsider because he would have been seen as an unclean eunuch. But Philip doesn't exclude him. Verse 30, Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. I love to imagine this scene as Philip is running alongside the chariot and maybe he's a little winded as he calls out, "Hey, what are you reading up there?" But Philip actually asked a better question in verse 30. Not, "What are you reading?" but, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He asked a question that spoke to the need of this Ethiopian man, the need to more fully understand the things of God and Christ and Scripture. And the Ethiopian responds, "Well, how could I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. As the Apostle Paul speaks of in Romans 2, this Ethiopian man needed a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. So he invites Philip to come sit with him in his chariot and be that guide and that light. As I hear from friends and believers in the workplace like Steve Ramser, often the opportunities to share Christ and the gospel comes about through invitation from that coworker. Perhaps that coworker is going through a trial in marriage or a health struggle. And when they get to that point of crisis, they often reach out to you as a believer and say, "Can you pray for me? Can you help me?" Often the unsaved will first trust you before they trust in Christ. And it's during these situations where hearts are softened and doors become opened to the gospel. And the eunuch opens the door of his chariot to Philip. Verse 32. Now the passage of Scripture which he, the eunuch, was reading was this, from Isaiah 53:7. "He was led like a sheep to slaughter, and like a lamb that is silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his justice was taken away. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." This eunuch could have been reading from any number of Old Testament texts, but God directs him to this one central passage in this one scroll of Isaiah, to this one text that speaks of the prophecy of the one true Messiah, the suffering servant, the innocent king who came to die as a sacrifice for the sins of the world so that we might be reconciled to God. Bible's laid open, millions of surprises. But the eunuch doesn't have a clue as to who or what this prophecy is speaking of. Verse 34, the eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else?" And we can imagine Philip just looking up to heaven and just saying, "Thank you, God," because this question provides a beautiful segue for Philip to share the gospel with this outsider. It's amazing that God uses sinners and outsiders like you and me as his mouthpieces. So we must be ready at all times to faithfully go and share the gospel with humility. And that's my next point. As we seek to reach the outsider with the love of Christ, we must not only, one, faithfully go, but then two, we must also humbly tell. We must humbly tell. In verse 33, we saw that phrase concerning Messiah, who will describe his generation? Who will explain this man's life? And Philip is about to. Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. In verse 32, we saw that Messiah would not open his mouth to defend himself, but here Philip opens his mouth, and then others come along like us who open their mouth to speak as witnesses for Christ. This verse reminds me of that great passage in Luke 24. It's after the resurrection, and Jesus comes alongside these two men who were walking on the road to Emmaus. And it says their eyes prevented them from recognizing Jesus. And Jesus asks these guys, "What are you talking about?" And the men respond, "Where have you been? Are you the only one in Jerusalem who doesn't know what has just happened these last few days?" But in truth, Jesus was the only one who fully knew what had just happened. And the men say, "This man Jesus was sentenced to death and he was crucified, and we were hoping that he was going to be the one to redeem Israel." And some women among us amazed us when they went to the tomb early in the morning and found it empty. They did not find the body, and angels said that he was alive and risen. And then Luke 24, 27. What a verse. "Then Jesus, beginning with Moses and the prophets, began to explain to them the things concerning himself in all of Scripture." How amazing that would have been to hear Jesus give them an Old Testament survey of how all of it pointed to himself. And that's what Philip does here in Acts, starting with Isaiah 53. He begins to preach Christ. When we share Christ, when we share the gospel, we must always do so with grace and humility. Colossians 4, 5 through 6. "Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Your speech must always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." Are you making the most of every opportunity to reach the unreached? And are you doing so in a spirit of truth and grace? We see God tell this certain man, Philip, "Just go wait down in the desert between Jerusalem and Gaza, and I'm about to send you on a divine appointment with the treasurer of Ethiopia, who is a God-fearing man, but he doesn't yet know the things of Christ. And I'm going to send him to that same desert road at the same time, and he will be reading from a certain book, Isaiah. And in Isaiah, he will be reading a certain passage that speaks to a certain prophecy of a sinless, suffering servant and king. And we know this to be our Messiah, Jesus, a man who was illegally tried 6 times and found innocent. But he's ultimately crucified for claiming to be the Son of God. And in humiliation and judgment, he's taken away. He's nailed to the cross, and he died for the sins of humanity. He died for your sins in your place, so that you might be saved and reconciled to God the Father. Our sin separated us from God. But Jesus died to bridge that gap, and then he rose from the dead so that we might have everlasting life in him if we simply trust and believe in him. It's God who brought Philip and this Ethiopian man together. There are no coincidences with God. As C.S. Lewis writes, there is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God. And if we are walking in obedience to the Word by the power of the Spirit, then He will direct us. He will guide us. But we must be walking in step with Christ so that we can make the most of every opportunity to humbly tell others of the gospel. So when seeking to reach the outsider with the gospel, number one, we must faithfully go. We must humbly tell. And then number three, why not now? Why not now? Verse 36, as they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, water. What prevents me from being baptized? I love that question. What's stopping me from taking this next step in my spiritual life? And why not now? I'll ask you, is there anything standing in your way? Is there anything keeping you from a closer walk with Christ? Is something keeping you from a greater intimacy in marriage? Maybe it's unconfessed sin and we need to make things right with God and right with our spouse. Is there anything keeping you from a deeper relationship with your kids or your parents? What's preventing me from sharing my faith with my neighbor, my coworker, my classmate? Why not now? We have some of these gospel tracts out in the foyer out here. And this one is from the Evantel Ministry. And you can feel free to pick one of those up on your way out and stick that in your wallet or your purse. And it helps you as you share the gospel with others. And this track is titled, May I Ask You a Question? And at the end of this track, once you walk someone through the gospel, you come to the question at the very end, which is there anything keeping you from trusting in Christ right now? And we pray that by God's grace and by the enlightening of the Spirit, the person will say, no, nothing is keeping me from trusting Christ right now. And if you are here today and you haven't trusted in the one who died on the cross for you and rose from the dead, don't wait. Don't delay. We are not guaranteed tomorrow, much less 12:30 this afternoon. So come to faith in Jesus right now. And there's nothing better than that, than seeing God bring an outsider into the family of God by faith alone, in Christ alone. And what's the next step for this eunuch? Verse 38, and he ordered the chariot stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. The eunuch said, stop the chariot. I'm not going a step further without being baptized. God had called Philip to share the gospel with this Ethiopian man, and the man comes to Christ and he gets baptized, and then Philip is snatched away, not to heaven, like we see with Elijah in 2 Kings 2, but to another place where there's still ministry to be done and with people who haven't yet heard the gospel. And Philip keeps preaching Christ to all the cities as he makes his way to Caesarea. We saw in verse 33 the words from Isaiah. Who is going to explain his generation? Who is going to explain Messiah? Who is going to tell of Jesus? And the answer is, you are. As Tommy Nelson said, if he stood silent before his accusers for you, could you open your mouth for him? Last week, I pointed you to those circular cards that are there on your seats, and I want to challenge you again today to take one of those home. If you didn't do so last week, and you could always take home a second one, but pray for someone that you can reach for the gospel, that you can reach with the love of Christ, and then write down their name on the back of that card. And for the next several weeks, keep praying as long as it takes. Keep praying. Pray for an opportunity to share with them the hope that you have in Christ. Invite them to join you for church. And then put that card in a place where you will see it. You will be reminded to pray daily for that person. Let me know if I can add a name to my list. I loved hearing last week to pray for this young girl, and the family was going to invite them to join them later that evening for VBS. And then later on that evening, I get a photo of this young gal in our church. She's walking hand in hand with this friend that they had invited, a neighbor that they had invited to join them for VBS. So it's stories like that I love, and I want to share it. I want to celebrate those things, how God brings people to himself. Let's each one reach our one for Christ. And when the Holy Spirit does draw people to faith, baptism is a great next step. You don't get baptized to be saved. You get baptized because you are saved. It's an act of obedience to Jesus and a public profession of our faith as we say, I am a follower of Christ. And through baptism, I am identifying with Jesus in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. For just as Christ died and was buried, so too I was buried and dead in my sin and trespasses. But then as Jesus rose from the grave, we too are raised to new life in him if we simply come to him in faith. In verse 39, after this eunuch is baptized, Philip is snatched away. But the Ethiopian man goes about his way rejoicing. And that should be our response. When we encounter the living Christ, worship. When we see outsiders brought in to the family of God through faith in Jesus, we have every reason to rejoice and to celebrate. That's why we clap and we cheer when someone comes to faith or they come out of the waters of baptism. Yes, we are proud of this man, woman, or child, but more than that, we are rejoicing in what God has done. We are celebrating that one who is dead to sin has now been raised to new life in Christ. And if you would like to be baptized, if you have never taken that step, our next baptism will take place on August the 15th, and I would love to speak to you more about taking that step. What a beautiful step in our walk with Christ. Philip told this Ethiopian man, you are reading about someone incredibly unique. Jesus, born in a manger, died on a cross, became a lamb who was slain, became an outsider to the outsiders, cut off, excluded, so that we could be brought in to his family. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, for Bibles laid open, and millions of surprises found within, like this extraordinary story of this Ethiopian man who was a lot like me before I placed my faith in you as a freshman in college. For my spiritual condition was as dry as this desert road to Gaza. But after hearing the gospel and responding in faith to you, Lord Jesus, I experienced the refreshing effects of knowing you, being forgiven by you, and being washed clean by your grace and forgiveness. by your blood, washed whiter than snow. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today who has yet to make that decision to trust in you and to take a drink of the waters of eternal life that you offer to us, would you draw them to yourself today? And empower us, Lord, to now go and be your witnesses wherever you lead us. And we know it won't be easy. But as C.T. Studd once said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. So help us to be willing to go to sacrifice, to humbly tell of your grace and your love. We ask this in Jesus' name.